Don't you hate it when the picture doesn't come out? You know, you've got everything ready. You take a great picture, you get home. It looked okay on your phone maybe, but then when you looked at it on your computer screen, when you blew it up, oh, it's fuzzy. Oh, I hate it when the picture doesn't come out that way. We're going to talk about fuzzy images and when you just can't tell what something is and what it means right here on the corner of truth and life. And welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall. And last episode, we talked about the idea of the image and when our children are the image of us and or we're the image of our forebears and then of us being in the image of God. But, you know, it's all happened to us, I'm sure, at some point. If you've ever taken a picture, I've had it happen far too many times. And actually now when I've shot some video and had it happen there, where, you know, either on your phone or on your camera, you got that little screen to help you look at the image, and it looks good. And you're like, oh, I think we're all set. I remember at one point I was shooting a video to use for the church, and so I had the little screen where I could see to make sure everything was all set, and everything looked great on that little screen, and I shot the whole video, and I was on location, and then I packed up my camera, and I just got a regular camera, that digital camera that can shoot video. And so I pack up, go home, and then I eagerly stick the SD card into my computer to pull up the video and look at it and start kind of just editing it together. And it's out of focus. It had focused, like, not on me, but on the wall behind me, so I'm all fuzzy. And my footage was unusable. And I was like, oh. So, in fact, the end of this story is I was so frustrated that I need to reshoot it, and I still haven't done it. It's been like 9 months. And so that whole video idea just didn't happen because I was so discouraged because my video came out fuzzy. And I've had that happen with pictures too, where, you know, you grab your phone, oh, that's a great moment, or your camera, and you shoot the picture, and you captured the moment, and you're all good. And again, on the little screen, it looked great. And then you get home, and you look, and the picture's fuzzy. And you can't see it clearly. And the same with digital zoom and things like that. You know, you take a big picture and then you try to zoom in on a little thing. And by the time you get it all zoomed in, it's all pixely and blocky and you can't make out what it is. On the TV, they suddenly run some computer software real quick and it just resolves it. But in reality, it's oftentimes just not that simple and can't be done. It's unless you are on a TV show and have special effects. But I want to talk about and kind of discuss that idea of the fuzzy image today. So, in the previous episode, we talked about the idea that we are made in the image of God, and that God imaged himself, that God has represented himself in us. And we talked about some of the ways that that is true. The idea that we have an inherent built into us a sense of justice. We have a desire for unconditional love and a valuing of that, of sacrifice. There's a lot of who he is built right into us, and it cuts across all cultures. And it cuts across just all of humankind because it's within us, and we can see that if we're honest. And so he has represented himself, he has imaged ourselves. But then the objection comes. Well, if we're in the image of God, if God has revealed himself in us and made us like him, then, well, why is everything so awful? And you think about like the Holocaust or genocide and all these things, and why is it like that if we're made in God's image? And that is a very fair and a very understandable and reasonable and appropriate question. Because if we're supposed to be reflections of God, then why are human beings so terrible? And it's interesting, I heard on public radio recently of a book that had come out, this guy, and I haven't researched it, but they were just recapping his basic premise, which is that man is basically good. And when I heard that, my first reaction was, have you met us? I'm a big fan of the TV show Scrubs, and it wasn't always an appropriate show, so I know, but it was hilarious. And one of the things about Scrubs is, of course, it was a medical show. It was a sitcom, but it was set in a hospital. And they really tried to be realistic on some points. I mean, at some points they were very, obviously, it was a sitcom. It wasn't meant to be medically accurate. But they had actually used real-life situations. And they had real-life doctors and nurses that, you know, gave them ideas, and they based stuff on real life things. And many said, yeah, actually they felt like it was a very truthful telling of some of the basics, even if it wasn't medically, you know, meant to be accurate. And one of those things, and in that show, was the fact that everybody lies. And of course you see that actually on the TV show House too, which is very medically not meant to be accurate. But this idea that people can be really awful. And if you've ever worked in public service, whether it's in church or in charities or just town government or whatever, the truth is that people can be really awful. And even the nicest of people and the best people, man, you go crosswise of them and it can get bad, and it can get bad quick, and it can catch you off guard. Because we you know, as one person once said in a video I watched, we all have the worm in our apple. Well, how does we reconcile that with this whole man made in God's image? Well, the truth is the Bible discusses this and covers it very clearly, and not in a way of trying to make excuses, but in a way of setting out that there is a huge problem in the system. And of course, we find it in Genesis chapter 3 in what's called the fall. And too often, people get hung up on the wrong parts of that story. Adam and Eve, you know, they were given a stupid rule, and they broke the stupid rule, and so they get in trouble. All humankind was totally banished and messed up because they couldn't keep a stupid rule. And when you frame the story that way, well, yeah, then God seems very unreasonable, and the whole thing seems stupid. But that's not what's there, and that's not a good representation of how the Bible presents the story. But oftentimes, even as Christians, that's how we've presented the story, because we don't understand the story. We don't pay attention, and we treat it like a children's story when it's really not. Because the real story, as revealed in Genesis 3, is that God put Adam and Eve in a garden and said, I'm going to freely give you all this. And there's one thing he didn't give them. One thing he didn't give them. You know, he put them in the candy store and he said, you can have every candy in the store except this one little thing, this one area. And this one I haven't given to you. And he may have going to give it to him later. Maybe it wasn't time yet. The Bible doesn't tell us why he didn't give them that one. But he said, don't eat that one. And then, of course, the story is that Eve looked at it, and with some help, she decided she really wanted that one. Even though she'd been freely given a bunch of other stuff, pretty much more than she probably could ever handle, she wanted the one thing she'd been told no. And so she took it. And rather than accepting what was given, she took. And then Adam took. And all of a sudden, all their relationships changed. And if you read the account, you immediately see. They had been together and they had been naked. And it said, and they weren't ashamed of that. All of a sudden, they're ashamed. All of a sudden, what's changed? They're suddenly very self-conscious. They're suddenly very aware of themselves in a new way. They're suddenly having to become self-protective. And before, God would show up every day and walk with them. So he was showing up in a body to walk with them and talk with them. This is probably, you know, it's Jesus, basically, and before he's born into a physical body, but he, like an angel, could take on the appearance of a body. And every day, it said in the evening, he'd kind of show up for the end of the day to hang out with them. And they were doing this apparently every day, except he shows up at this point and they're hiding. And so this open relationship they had with him is now shameful. And they're hiding. And then when he says, well, why are you guys hiding? Did you take the fruit? And rather than saying, yeah, we took the fruit, it's suddenly the blame game. Like Adam now, he is all out for self-preservation. And so he throws God and Eve under the bus. The woman that you gave me. And the woman throws the serpent under the bus. Well, it wasn't my fault. Suddenly they're in self-protection mode. Up until then, they hadn't been. Up until then, it hadn't been about them. And we can't even conceive of that because we don't really... We can be selfless at times, but it's hard. Because even our selflessness oftentimes has to be coached in self-awareness and self-interest. Not that we can never be selfless, because we can. But it's hard because it goes against our basic nature. And it takes us a lot of work to be selfless, and we have trouble sustaining it. Because we turn around, and if you have been selfless and then it was not appreciated, you'll probably become very selfish quick. After all the things I've done, you know what I've done for whatever? I've served my country. I deserve. I've served this town. I deserve. I've served this family. I deserve. And suddenly it's about us because we do us really well. It's our default setting, and this is where it started. And it mars the image. And that's why Jesus comes and he starts reestablishing the proper image of God. Because Jesus comes and he's God. He is the Lord of universe, all glory, honor, majesty, and power. And he comes down and he's born as a poor human. Isaiah said, with no stately form, no majesty, nothing that would make us drawn to him. And then he says things like, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. I came to give up my life. And he lives a life of selflessness. To again show that the real image of God is supposed to be to give up and receive what is offered rather than to take. And yet if you look at the world, what is the source of all these conflicts? It's because we take. We take advantage. We take our due. We take. We want more than we're given. We want what we want when we want it. And we take. And it mars the image. And it's like a picture that's out of focus. And sometimes you look and say, can I even see who that is? Because the original image is so fuzzy, you really can't even recognize what it's an image of. And that's us. And that's why sometimes it's hard to see God in man and in churches, because of a fuzzy image. How's your focus today on yourself? Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North Jay. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.